MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Friday, December 15, 2023, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore with a look at today's headlines. The proposed new school for Whittier Tech is headed for a big vote. Lynn gets good news on the new Pickering Middle School. And there are new developments on Marblehead's Glover School.
I'm Bill Newell, and a bit later, we have some coaching notes for you, and we'll also hear from a couple of North Shore coaches. Rick?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Bill. Sunny today, temperatures in the 50s, high tide, Gloucester Harbor, 12:32 p.m. The Whittier Regional Vocational Technical School Committee voted 10-4 Wednesday to hold elections on January 23 in the 11 communities that will decide if a new school is to be built. Jim Sullivan of the Daily News reports that the committee is asking those communities to approve the $444.6 million building. Newburyport Mayor Sean Reardon has been a vocal critic of the Whittier plan over the process.
We weren't involved in the process, we weren't communicated about the process, and we didn't have any say in the process. So there was no, you know, focus groups in all 11 communities asking, what are you looking for in a new vocational school for your students? So none of these conversations happened.
Reardon is also concerned about the amount of money the district is asking for to build what would become the state's most expensive school ever.
Essex Tech, brand new school, just became part of the Cape Ann League. I think it's in Danvers or Middleton, that area. I think it's Middleton because it's right across from the jail. But Middleton, brand new school, cost $135 million to build just a couple years ago. But now we have Whittier asking us to all pay for a $445 million school.
Voters will now be deciding on the new school as soon as next month.
So they have picked January 23rd, and they have worked with the city clerks to set up a time, which will be 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. on January 23rd, and that vote's going to happen simultaneously in all 11 cities and towns. And the results of those votes are not town-by-town results. It's a majority vote, so it's all going to be added up, and whatever it is, yes or no, that's what we're going to that's going to be the decision. Again, this is all set and forth by this very old document that we signed back in 1967 that's never been updated or never amended. It's also the same document that states out how capital projects will be paid for. So in this case, Newburyport has 29 kids that go there, but because we're the second largest school district, right, at 2,300 kids, we have to pay close to 14% of the project. So our bill for the project, I think I've already said this, but $30 million if this vote passes.
Newburyport Mayor Sean Reardon speaking on this week's Mayor's Corner podcast. The Massachusetts School Building Authority this week approved the scope and budget for a new Pickering Middle School in Lynn. James Jennings of the Daily Item quoted Lynn Mayor Jared Nicholson as saying, "For the last couple of months we've been saying things are looking good, but it's not official in terms of the funding." The Marblehead Educators Association has made a declaration of no confidence in Director of Student Services Dr. Paula Donnelly and Associate Director Emily Dean, calling for the removal from their positions. Daily Item reporter Ryan Vermette writes today that the letter was sent to Interim Superintendent Dr. Teresa McGinnis and a school committee on Thursday morning, citing Donnelly and Dean's inability to secure safe and healthy learning environments in our schools. The letter references the issues at the Glover School and is connected to the four staff members who were recently put on administrative leave. Beverly Deputy School Superintendent Dorothy Flaherty presented the Curriculum Instruction and Student Life Committee this week an update on the Math Pathways Initiative. The district's equity and inclusion audit has revealed some concerns in the advanced placement courses.
71% of white students take multiple advanced courses, while 49% of non-white students take multiple advanced courses. In Beverly, 29% of white students are not enrolled in any advanced coursework, where 51% of our non-white students are not enrolled in any advanced coursework. So that was some of the under-over racial disparities that we found when we delved into the advanced coursework data.
Flaherty noted that math tracking is a concern, as well as needing to identify systemic negative practices in the district.
systemic factors really are those pieces that are that perpetuate mechanisms that don't allow us to kind of move forward. Sometimes they're thought of when in research as to look at sort of some of the standing pieces, schedule, how you do selection of courses, a lot of other, what you're offering, all of those things. Those are the systemic factors. And so we spent some time really digging into that. When you take a really close look at course offerings, course selections, the process of moving students through our system, particularly from grade 7 to 12, there's no denying that there's tracking going on. So we have a system in sixth grade right now where we begin to separate and sort students into different levels. So they're sorted into either advanced math or what is just general math. And that begins when they're in sixth grade. And that is, in essence, the definition of tracking, when we begin to identify students early on before it's really a time that developmentally they're ready for that kind of selection on their own of what direction they want to go in their pathways. So part of our proposal this evening is really relying on the research about detracking and what needs to happen as a reform strategy as we try to achieve equity.
Flaherty shares the impact tracking can have on students.
And in essence, there's an inequality in perceived labels. Social stigmas prevail, so students learn very early on that they're considered to be in the smart group or the less than group. I was in a fourth grade class the other day, and students randomly were sorted into groups. And as they broke into groups, the comments were, oh, wait a minute, all the smart kids are over there. And so it's very evident that students begin very early to identify themselves as what their potential is at least perceived to be. There's a self-fulfilling prophecy when you do things like this. So if you begin being labeled as a low achiever, you internalize this label, and the performance is detriment. Has a detrimental effect on performance.
Beverly Deputy School Superintendent Dorothy Flaherty reporting to the Curriculum and Instruction Subcommittee. The meeting is also available on BevCam. And a Peabody woman is among three candidates who've been nominated for probate and family court justices. The Salem News reports that Michelle A. Yee of Peabody, along with Bernadette Stark and Manisha Bhatt, have been nominated. Yee is an attorney and has been part of the probate and family court system for 18 years. Bill Newell on sports next, followed by NST Extra.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
MSO News Sports. News updates throughout the day. Great local sports coverage, giving voice to North Shore newsmakers.
A unique holiday gift.
If you're tired of giving gifts that nobody wants or uses, think about giving something they actually need and use, like a soap bar. This is a brand new soap bar by the company ExoBath. It's not just like any soap bar, it has a unique twist. It has a space carved into the top of it, that then you can take an old soap sliver and put it right inside to reuse it. If you know somebody that uses soap bars, think about giving them this bar as a gift. It's available for purchase on xobath.com. And right now you can even get your first purchase 20% off with the code HELLOXO.
Click on the banner at the top of our website. This is MSO Sports, bringing voice to the North Shore. The Celtics beat the Cavaliers last night at the Garden, 116-107. Jason Tatum with 27 points and 11 rebounds. The Bruins will play at the Islanders tonight. Puck drop at 7:30. Meanwhile, the Patriots will host Kansas City Sunday at 1. Tyler McDonald has been named the new football coach at Lynn English High School. This past year's coach, Anthony LaFrada, is moving up to school administration. And J.P. Reiling has been named the new varsity baseball coach at Bishop Fenwick. He is taking over for Matt Antonelli, who resigned earlier this year. There is plenty of high school basketball on the North Shore here tonight in the area, and we'll have a post up later today with some additional information. A look at tomorrow's North Shore High School hockey schedule finds Danvers playing at Winthrop. This is Vikings coach Dale Dunbar looking at his team to make sure they perform at the best of their ability.
My main concern is developing our kids and our systems. And as long as we're doing what we're supposed to do, you know, hopefully that'll be enough to be in the game at the end of every game. You know, if I start worrying about what the other team's doing, then you take away from what we're doing. So we can always make an adjustment to what somebody's doing, But I'm sure everybody's going to be, every game is going to be very, very competitive. And that's the way we prepare, whether it's a Gloucester or Danvers, or, it doesn't matter who it is. We're going to be ready, hopefully, you know, executing all of our systems and doing everything to our liking. So when we do get in the game, it's just, you know, maybe a tweak here or there. But I'm sure we're in for a battle with every game. You know, we have a bullseye on our back, as we always do, and we enjoy that part of it. But every game is very important to us. So I'm sure, you know, we're going to have a very, very competitive season.
Winthrop coach Dale Dunbar, and again, they're hosting the Danvers Falcons tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. The Masconomic girls hockey team is off until next Wednesday. That's when they take on Gloucester. Masco coach Ryan Sugar on their team's quick 3-0 start to the season.
We're 3-0, and I mean, putting it into perspective, like, these girls that are all on this team right here, this is the first group of girls I've had that were not part of the co-op when it broke off 4 years ago. So these girls have only played Masco hockey strictly without a co-op. And this is our best start to the year with the 3-0. We actually only won 5 games last year altogether.
Masconomic girls soccer coach Ryan Sugar. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Have a great Friday, and be sure to keep listening to North Shore Today Extra.
A unique holiday gift.
If you're tired of giving gifts that nobody wants or uses, think about giving something they actually need and use, like a soap bar. This is a brand new soap bar by the company Exo Bath. It's not just like any soap bar, it has a unique twist. It has a space carved into the top of it that then you can take an old soap sliver and put it right inside to reuse it. If you know somebody that uses soap bars, think about giving them this bar as a gift. It's available for purchase on xobath.com. And right now you can even get your first purchase 20% off with the code HELLOXO.
Click on the banner at the top of our website.
With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and now we're talking with Masconomic High School girls hockey coach Ryan Sugar. Coach, welcome back. It's been a long time since we've talked. How you doing?
I'm good. It's definitely been a long time. How you been?
Oh, very well. And, you know, it's funny how fast the seasons go by, and now you're rolling along. Coach, I have so many questions to ask you. First of all, congratulations on your win over Medford 2-0. And let's start with the latest information and go backwards. Tell me a little bit about the game.
It was probably the most physical game we've played in the last three. Big second period of a lot of penalties and everything, but we were able to stay pretty calm. We've always had, you know, pretty tight games with Medford, so we were expecting it going there, but, we got an early lead in the first period and were able to just hold on to it through the game.
Now, Medford, they're in a co-op with Malden, so they have to have some pretty robust players, I should say, given the history of those two towns.
It was definitely a physical game, and like I said, for as long as I can remember, we've always had tough physical games against them, so this was nothing out of the ordinary for me.
Give me a little description of the game and how it went and who your heroes were.
So we started off, like, right off the bat with a lot of pressure on them first period. Our first goal actually was from Allie LaCava. She's a junior defenseman. She's usually a stay-at-home defenseman, so seeing her rush the puck the length of the ice, cutting in and putting a short side goal in the first was, I think it was a surprise for her and us. And then it tightened up. The second period got real chippy, real physical. I think there was 11 penalties between the two teams in that period. Third period, everybody was a little bit calmer. It was a lot more intense, you know, with the one goal game. And with about 50 seconds left, Hannah Coleman, a senior that we picked up this year, she actually picked up the empty net goal to kind of seal it off at the end for us.
You know, on balance as a fan, it sounds like a terrific game to watch.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was a nail-biter. I mean, they had a lot of good shots. I believe they had 22 shots on net, and Mackenzie Cronin, a senior, she's been split the time back and forth with Maddie Dupuis, who decided not to play goalie. She's playing out this year, but Mackenzie stepped up huge. This was actually her first full game career shutout for us, so it was a big night for her too.
Oh, congratulations for her. All right, so drop some names for me, Coach, in terms of young ladies who are expected to lead the way for you, and maybe some newcomers.
Yeah, so I mentioned Hannah Coleman. She's a senior that decided to come back to Masco for a senior year. She's a big lacrosse player. She's actually committed D1.
Wow.
But hockey, she's big, powerful forward. She's gotten a goal or a point in each of our first three games, which is a great addition. Up front, we have Maddie Kenny, Liza Shannon. Trying to think who else is there. I got 9 or 10 forwards I can roll through.
Mm-hmm.
It's been all of these, with the exception of our seniors, every player on the team has been a middle school player that joined early for us. So,
oh my goodness, yeah.
Yeah, we have Bella Flynn, who's a senior for us. She actually can bounce back and forth between defense and offense. We got a solid, every defenseman came back from last year. Her, Allie LaCava, Ella Meehan, who's a freshman, Tara Thompson's a freshman. It's a solid crew. Bella Malloy's a sophomore. And again, all these girls played middle school. So I have freshmen who are third-year varsity players right now.
Oh, my goodness. Now, this was the first league game, right?
No, this was actually our third league game. We started when the season started last Thursday. We got a Thursday-Saturday games in. So we've been rolling pretty well so far.
Okay, catch me up.
So I guess we can just go backwards. We played Marblehead on Saturday, and we scrimmaged them the week before, actually. So we kind of both knew about each other. Started off with the lead, and then we just kind of fell apart a little bit in the middle of the game, and they were able to take a lead. So it was 3-2 going into the second period against them. We were down, and Maddie Kenny, about halfway through the third period, power play goal, quick to tie it, and then literally on the exact same shift, picked up the puck 5-on-5 from the slot and scored the game winner, and we just were able to hold them off. But it was a back and forth. They had the lead, we had the lead. It was a solid game overall for us, with moving the puck. But I think we haven't played that full 45 minutes yet, and that's what I'm hoping for soon. So that was our second game, and we started off the season against Newburyport. Same thing. It was a 4-3 game. We didn't start out the strongest, but we were able to come back. And you know, with Newburyport being formerly part of our co-op, that's always one of our biggest games of the year when we play them. So that was it's a big way to start the season for us.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. So you guys are 3-0 before the season even gets rolling.
We're 3-0, and I mean putting it into perspective, like, these girls that are all on this team right here, this is the first group of girls I've had that were not part of the co-op when it broke off 4 years ago. So these girls have only played Masco hockey strictly without a co-op, and this is our best start to the year with the 3-0. We actually only won 5 games last year altogether.
Holy rollies. All right, so you guys are smoking. Now, what's the makeup of the league, Ryan? And forgive my ignorance on this.
No, so it's been the same 9 teams for a couple of years. We've got Newburyport, Marblehead, and Medford that we've already played. We have Gloucester next week. We play then we've got Winthrop, Beverly, the Beverly Danvers co-op there, the Peabody co-op with Linfield and North Reading, and Shawsheen Tech.
Okay.
Makes up the 9 team league.
So we're
a big league now.
Yeah, it's an interesting mix of conferences on the North Shore. That's cool. Now, Coach, I guess finally, I'll do a couple of questions. Who do you see as challengers in the league?
You know, Winthrop, Peabody, and Beverly have always been at the top of the league. I think they're going to be potentially, I'm hoping to get in the mix there. I mean, based on the way we've started off, we don't see any of those three teams until like the first or second weekend of January. So we got a little bit of time to really prepare for them, but you know, they've been sitting at the top of the league the last few years.
Okay, who's next for your squad?
So we have the weekend off. Kind of wish we had another game to keep the momentum rolling, and then we've got we'll play Gloucester in Haverhill on Wednesday night for a home game against them.
Ryan, this is exciting. I mean, it's really cool. You guys are off to a tremendous start. I can hear the enthusiasm in your voice. And anything else you want to mention about the Masco kids?
No, I mean, they're a great group. Like, I feel like some of them have been on the team forever because some of them, they've all been middle school players. it's starting to click. You know, we haven't made the tournament in the last few years. We've had some down seasons, but it's been a young group of girls that I think with the experience that we're pulling in this year and just who we have, and they all have a couple years of high school under their belt, it's clicking, and you can see it, and they're having a lot of fun right now, which is like the best part of the whole thing.
Absolutely. Congratulations, Coach. Great start, and we will talk with you again very soon.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. Take care. That is Ryan Sugar, who is the Masconomet High School girls hockey coach. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.